Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, I'm just in awe. I'm just reading this wonderful story out of Mark chapter 5, and I'm talking about Jesus, and if you'd like, you can turn there. If you just want to listen, feel free to listen, but I want to read some of this scripture with you of this powerful story of just what Jesus is able to do, what he did 2,000 years ago, and what Jesus is still doing today for you and I. And I'm reading out of Mark chapter 5, and Jesus had just was coming off the boat, and he had just brought a storm down to a calm. He spoke to the storm, spoke to the sea, spoke to the waters, spoke to the clouds, the lightning. He can speak to whatever he wants to speak to and just bring peace to the thing. And so in Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, scripture says, they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he'd often been bound with shackles and chains, but he'd wrenched the chains apart, and he'd break the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. The message that I want to leave with you this afternoon is go home and go tell it. Here's this man that was possessed, taken captive, by this unclean spirit, by this demonic spirit. He was living in tombs. And a really, to me, symbolic of what the company of unclean spirits brings. And here he was, oppressed by wickedness, possessed by evil. And he lived and dwelt among the tombs. And in verse 5, it says, night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and cutting himself with stones. And this was a very painful, very ugly, very dark picture that we get of this man living amongst the tombs. In wickedness and in evil, the only thing that it draws close to itself is death. Wickedness and evil only has one ending, and it's death. Symbolically for me, his life, the way he was living in and out of these tombs, crying out all night long, whether the cries were coming from him as a man trying to break free, or whether it was the cries of this demonic presence that was holding him down in these strongholds. But for whatever it was an ugly picture. It really was. So straight out of a horror film, if you can imagine. And many people tried to subdue this guy. They put chains on him. They would, whether it was to try to calm him down from cutting himself, or whether it was just the fear of what he represented up and down the mountain, they tried to put chains on him and shackle him. And the wickedness and the evil was so dark, he would break the chains. Because man, outside of Jesus, cannot subdue evil. So scripture says that they could not subdue it. Wickedness and evil cannot be controlled in our own power. Wickedness and evil cannot be conquered, be dominated, be subdued in some way in our own strength. Scripture goes on to say in verse 6, that when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And crying out with a loud voice, he said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me. Now, I found this really interesting, this dialogue that seems to happen here. Here is this wickedness and this evil that is tormenting this man day in and day out, to the point of whether he's just cutting his feet on the mountains as he runs, or just cutting himself, almost wanting to in some way figure out how to rid himself of this darkness. But when Jesus shows up, there is a power that has to bow down to a greater power. And he comes, and scripture says immediately when he sees Jesus, he runs out of these tombs and he falls on his face before Jesus, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. This power has to subject itself to the great power. And I love this, you know, because here he is tormenting this man night in and night out, being tormented. And yet he would run up to Jesus. And the first thing he would say is, what would you have to do with me? You, Jesus, Son of God, the Most High God. See, even darkness understands that there is a Most High God. It is baffling to see how many people don't think that God is the one supreme high God, as if we should share our God with other gods. But even darkness itself, even the very demons that were in this, that possessed this man, bowed down and recognized our God as the Most High God. The Most High God. And then as he bowed his face, the demon would speak and say, please, I adjure you, which is, I beg of you, don't torment me. After tormenting this man day in and day out, now you want to fall on your face to the Most High God and ask, please don't torment me. I love that, because the demonic forces recognize that Jesus doesn't play with evil. I want you to understand, church, that we have the Most High God on our side. He's full of power and he's full of authority. And all evil must bow to our King. All wickedness must bow to our King. Hallelujah. In verse 8, for he was saying to him, this is Jesus speaking, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what is your name? He replied, my name is Legion, for we are many. There becomes almost this moment where this wicked spirit wants to take boast in being many. My name is Legion. And this time, Legion represented an army. It represented soldiers at arms. It represented an army anywhere from 6,000 to 12,000 men. That's what Legion represented. For him to say that name before Jesus, the Most High God, demonstrated the fight against wickedness against our Most High God. That moment represented that the enemy would try to do war against our Most High God. That the enemy is trying to do war against the people of God. You and I who are walking in his glory. You and I who are pursuing righteousness. This is a war. This is a fight. But we win. We've got the victory. What is your name? Legion. Oh, Legion. Oh, 6,000, 12,000. Oh, 12,000 who would beg that I don't torment you now. You see, you understand something, this spiritual fight. It's Jesus that will win this victory for us. This is why scripture tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against these powers, these principalities, this darkness. This is the fight right here against Legion. But let's let Jesus do all the fighting for us. And this is why they come to this place even furthermore. And they say, they begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now, a great herd of pigs, as we read in verse 11, was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him, saying, send us to the pigs. Let us enter them. So he gave them permission in verse 13. And the unclean spirits came out into the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned. That's awesome. I love Jesus. I truly think he has a sense of humor through all of this. You know, there was three moments of begging. The first beg was, please don't torment us. Okay, no problem. The second beg was, please don't take us out of this country. Because historically here in this country, it was a Gentile region. It was a pagan area. So they were just moving about. You know, the enemy, Pastor William referenced it earlier this morning. It's like a roaring lion roaming, seeking whom he may devour. And so they wanted to stay in that particular area. They felt they just had the upper hand in that area. Jesus says, okay. And then their last beg, hey, there's a herd of pigs. Please send us to the pigs. That's kind of funny. Because in that time, that pig was considered a very, very filthy animal. Still today, a very, very filthy animal. Even though we throw down on some bacon, but still a filthy animal. And Jesus, once again, okay, I won't send you out of the country. I'll let you stay here. I'll send you to the pigs. And just as quickly as they go into them pigs, 2,000 of them fat boys just ran right up to the mountain and went right over the top and drowned. Oh, praise you, Jesus. And things get a little interesting here. Verse 14, the herdsmen, they fled and they told this into the city and in the country. People came to see what it was that had happened. They came to see Jesus and they saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion, sitting there clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs. And they began to beg Jesus to depart from the region. What in the world? Now, I know y'all can't be that mad that you ain't gonna have no bacon no more. But this is actually a little deeper than that. So they go away, and these herdsmen, they come back, they tell everybody what just happened, what they saw. Then they come back to Jesus. And when they come back to Jesus, Jesus is sitting there having this wonderful conversation with the man who was once possessed by legion. And he's fully clothed and in his right mind. And they're just having this wonderful, wonderful conversation. But they look at Jesus, they look at this man, and they're afraid. Because in this moment, it wasn't the miracle that they would take hold of. It wasn't the miracle that they would embrace, but simply their desire to live in their own career, their own jobs, their own money was more important than the miracle that we find in Jesus. Their materialism was actually an idol that they worshiped and adored, far more than the miracles that we get from Jesus Christ. Their desire to live their own way is represented in this moment. And at this point, rather than embracing the God who's able to deliver and set you free, we would rather embrace our moment, our temporary satisfaction, those things that gratify our flesh. And so they beg Jesus, could you go? Could you leave? You've messed up my business. You've messed up our pattern of life. You've messed up our lifestyle. Could you go? I know this guy's sitting here, but could you go? In verse 18, as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him this. This is what Jesus said. Go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everyone marveled. Praise God. Now you've got to really picture this moment, because in no way here do I see when these herdsmen came back and all the townspeople came back, here they come to this place where it all happened. And the scripture says that they come and they're afraid. And as they're having this conversation, everyone is looking. They looked at the man, then they looked at Jesus, and then they asked Jesus, we beg of you, you need to go. Now you got to understand this position for this man who was delivered and set free. Here he is. He'd gone through a lot. Torment, pain, agony. And now that he's clothed, now that he's in his right mind, no one pays him any regard. No one pays him any attention. Matter of fact, it scared them. I mean, just a few hours ago, everybody was trying to chain him up and shackle him, trying to calm him down, as though maybe there was a little bit of attention that he was getting. But now that he's got Jesus, now nobody wants anything to do with him. I think some of us, we can identify with that. Now that we've done cleaned up ourselves and now that we're walking with Jesus, now you looking at me like I'm crazy. No, I was crazy when I didn't have Jesus. It's amazing though, we're in this, we're facing this same moment here today, that as you and I would get more and more on fire for Jesus Christ, everybody wants to step back, look at us, and could you just get out of here? And so in this moment for him, having this great conversation with Jesus, there was this assurance that he had with Jesus Christ as he recognized and as he come to see how Jesus pitied him, how Jesus took time out to set him free. Jesus is the deliverer. And in this moment, as Jesus heads to the boat, well, here it is, this moment where he says, no, please, I beg of you, can I please go with you? I don't want to stay in this community. I want to go with you. I feel overwhelmed. They didn't even acknowledge me. And I love Jesus' response. No. Go home. Go home and tell them how good I've been. Tell them about my mercy. Go home and tell it that I've set you free. Go home. Walk in my boldness. Proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Go home, stand firm, unashamed of the gospel of Jesus. Go home and tell it. Go. Hallelujah, because see, here's what it is. What we tend to do sometimes is we just want to sit kind of in the pity of Jesus Christ, but not walk out in the power of Jesus Christ. For many of us, we find ourselves, although walking with Jesus, there's this fear that we wrestle with, that we struggle with, overwhelmed by the worldliness, overwhelmed by gossip, overwhelmed by those who would shun us. But yet God is calling us to go forward unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go home and tell it. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. Here's what it is. Here's why Jesus says, go home and go tell it. Because the very power that you saw that demonstrates the power of Jesus, it's the same power that belongs to you and I. Let's look back and recognize. Do you remember this man, once called Legion, who came and bowed down? Deliverance came forth through the power of Jesus Christ. That's the same power that we go forth and we go tell it. Amen. If you've been delivered, if you've been set free, deliverance, deliverance, deliverance. You know what I'm talking about, man? I'm talking about a Jesus. This is a different type of breaking chains and breaking shackles. See, once you and I, once we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, he subdues anything that has oppressed you. That's it. He subdued it. How did he subdue it? When he went to the cross and he took on our sin. He put it on himself. My mess, my sin. He went to the cross, won the victory for me. He subdued my mess. And he, Jesus Christ, was the only person that can break the chains, that can break the shackles of addiction. Sexual perversion is destroying our generation today. It has oppressed this young generation today. It's oppressing moms and dads. Sexual perversion is oppressing grandfathers and grandmothers. Jesus has the power to break those chains of addiction, and sexual perversion. And there are people tonight, it's time to be delivered. I don't know what it is that has trapped you, has kept you down, has taken hold of your mind, but Jesus can set you free. He has the power to set you free. He is a deliverer. All evil and all wickedness must bow to him. And you and I are able to walk in that freedom if we would just come to Jesus, bow down and say, I surrender my life to you, break every chain, break every shackle, set me free from every oppressive attack of the enemy, subdue it, God, so that I can go home and go tell it. So that I can go home and go tell it. There's not a single person that needs to walk out these doors today and still be held captive by the enemy. We come against oppression. We come against possession now in the name of Jesus here in the house of the Lord. Your mind is able to be set free tonight. Every lustful thought, it can be surrendered now to the power of Jesus Christ. And you'll be able to walk out of here, go home, go tell it that Jesus Christ has set me free because of his finished work on the cross. Victory. Victory. We didn't step into this walk of faith to be afraid of anybody. I didn't. And I lived my life too long just afraid. There's no fear. Fear, there's no fear with Jesus. Only victory. I believe that God wants to deliver some people tonight, this afternoon, to set you free. Some of you, it's been a loud cry late at night. A loud cry of just anxieties, fears, doubt, questions. Just feeling chained to just complacency, laziness. Be free today. Be free. And it's not going to be your relationships on earth that are going to help you get through whatever you're suffering with. Your friends are not enough. Your boyfriend, your girlfriend, it's not enough. If your time hanging out at Starbucks, that's not going to free your mind from what you're dealing with at home. Googling, looking for your favorite restaurants. Going out to eat as much as possible. If I just go out. It's not going to set you free. It will not subdue the mess that you're going through. And right now, we're dealing with a situation today which is just too many weak and timid people that say that they're believers in this word. And we just kind of want to just kind of sit, oh, Jesus, have pity on me. And just like this young man, Jesus is saying, no, I need you to go home and go tell it. You talk about my goodness. You talk about my mercy. You tell of my grace. You tell them it's been a tough year, but God has got me through. That's it. Brag about Jesus. Boast in him. Talk about his mercy. Talk about his unconditional love. Why are we so timid and shy? Let's be unashamed. Should come out of this service and every person that you see, hey, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Jesus is alive. You should come to the 6 o'clock service and you have the best show you've ever experienced on Broadway. That's what should happen here. Oh, glory to God. I'm just too excited. I gotta calm down. I want to get ready to pray. But I want to really invite some people who are desperate for change to come up and pray this afternoon. No more chains, no more shackles. Only the power of Jesus Christ can subdue what you're going through. That's it. Hey, brothers, men, you will die in your anger and your bitterness. And if you think that you can sit back and subdue your anger, suppress it in some way, no, it only leads to death. It only has one ending. Be free from bitterness. Be free from anger. Those of you that are hurting in your marriages, angry, bitter, you can't subdue those feelings by yourself. Forgive. As Christ Jesus has forgiven you, has forgiven me. Don't go into this new year angry and bitter. But be able today to walk out of this beautiful house of the Lord and go home and go tell it that, hey, things have really been rough, but my Jesus is still on the throne. He is the Most High God, and I'm free in him. Worship ministry, could you come? Let's just take some time. We're going to take some time. We're going to worship. We're going to worship Jesus. Could you stand? And would you be bold enough to get out of your seat? Some of you, you haven't taken the time in your faith journey just to walk boldly and say, I'm going to go and I'm going to go tell it. And if you're saying today, this afternoon, that I'm going to be unashamed of the gospel, I'm going to go and I'm going to go tell it and I'm going to walk in my freedom, you need to come up here. In the balcony, on the floor, you need to come. And you come with your wife, you come with your husband, you come with your friend. But it's time. Go home, I'm going to go tell it. You can break every chain. You're able to break every chain. You are the Most High God. You're able to break every chain. Thank you, Jesus. Victory is yours today, O God. Set my brothers and sisters free in the name of Jesus, we pray. Set them free, O God. Deliverance now in the name of Jesus. We're delivered now, Lord God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for going to the cross. Thank you, Jesus. You went to the cross and you conquered sin and death. It's your blood that was shed on the cross, and it's your blood that we find healing. It's your blood that washes our sins away. Because of your blood, we have victory now in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh God, Savior, King of kings and Lord of lords, subdue every addiction. Subdue, Lord God, everything that has possessed these men and women. Subdue it now, oh God, in your power and in your authority. We push back every attack of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. And we cry out to you, God, for deliverance. We cry out victory now in the name of Jesus. We come against sexual perversion now in the name of Jesus. We come against bitterness now in the name of Jesus. We cry freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit, move right now. Move right now, Holy Spirit. Oh God, oh God, let there be a cry that comes forth in the house of God, a cry of freedom. God, set us free. Thank you, Jesus. You know all things. You've seen your people in pain. You've seen them crying. Thank you, God, for turning to us as a people. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for restoring us back unto you. Thank you, Jesus. And so, Father God, give us boldness. Give us strength. Teach us how to walk in your authority. Teach us how to walk, Lord God, in your power. That we would not shrink back, but that we would step forward, unashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. That we would speak and the authority of the Holy Spirit to tell all those that we would see of your marvelous love, your amazing grace, your kindness and your mercy. Put joy in our spirit, oh God. Give us joy, unspeakable joy, despite whatever storms that we've been through. But you bring peace in the storm, Lord God. And you would say to us to rise up and to go. To go tell it. Go tell of your goodness. We glorify you. We thank you. Thank you for deliverance this afternoon. Hallelujah. Amen.